It sure is good to see you today for Sunday school. Amen. It is good to see you here. And we thank you for being here. Did everybody get a donut now? These are the diet donuts. We took all the hole out of the middle of it, okay? These are the diet ones, okay? So all the calories that were in the middle of it, they're gone. You don't have to worry about it. We love you. We want to protect you, okay? So it's not a problem, okay? But make sure you get these things. Listen, we have a good time getting these, and they made a mistake today. I got to go back after church and resolve it. They only charged me $1.49 a dozen, and they hit the wrong button. They definitely hit the wrong button. And so they've already called me. I was on the phone with them this morning. They called me back and said, "We made a mistake." I said, "No, I thought that was a blessing. You know, that's just a blessing." You know, but so we got 10 dozen donuts for $14.90. So anyway, I got to go back and rectify that with them this afternoon after church. So you pray for these folks. It'd be a good invitation for them to come. And I can give them an invitation to be here in Sunday school. Hey, you're looking for the right place to come on Sunday? Come and visit with us, okay? Get a free donut, all right? So, anyway. Yeah, they write it off as a donation, so. All right, love you this morning. We are going through the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And this is a series of lessons entitled, "Where is Your Church Going? The Essentials of a Quality Church." You know what this Bible lesson is teaching us? These 13 lessons are teaching us. It's teaching us that churches everywhere are filled with imperfect people. You know what? There's not one of us that's perfect. When I got married, October the 10th, 1981, and my wife is here, she'll testify to this. It broke my heart to tell her right after we got married. I tried to break it to her easy. It took me a couple of days to do it, but after we got married. But it took me a while to explain to her and let her know that I was not a perfect fella. And she weeped for weeks. Oh, it was just terrible. No, I'm just kidding you. But you know what? There's not a one of us that's perfect. Not a one of us. And what Paul is trying to teach young Timothy here, Paul is preparing to leave and go off the scene. He knows that the executioner is about to come and take his head. And Paul is going to be leaving the scene. And he wanted to prepare Timothy for what would be lying ahead for him as a pastor in the church. He wanted to encourage him. He wanted to strengthen him. He wanted to help him with problems and things that would come his way. He knew that they would be coming. And each of these lessons that we've gone through, each of these lessons deal with different issues and different things that happen, different society things that happen. They were happening in Paul's day. They were happening in our day today. And one of the lessons today, amen, you got your donut there, Junior. Amen, bro. Did you bring Dad one? Nice to be loved, ain't it, bro? Amen. Yeah. All right. One of the lessons we're going to be doing is why dads don't tell their kids to go get donuts, okay? All right. No, I'm just kidding. But in our lesson series, we've been dealing with a lot of things. And today, we deal with something today. And ladies, I don't want you to think I don't love you. I do love you. Hey, my wife is a lady. My mom was a woman. Amen. My mom was a woman. And my sister's a woman. You know, my daughter's a woman, but I don't want you to think that this lesson today is against women, okay? Because it's entitled, "What's a Woman to Do?" But it was an issue in Paul's day. It's an issue in our day today. And you know what? It's an issue today in some situations because there are not men that will stand up and be a man. And there are ladies that won't sit down and be a lady, okay? Preach that against him. No. I just had to say that, Jerry. I just had to say it. But you know what? Listen, that's a serious problem. It's a problem in our society today. It's a problem in our churches today. It's a problem in our world today. Folks do not want to accept responsibility. Folks don't want to stand accountable. And folks, listen to me today. We all are going to stand accountable unto God one day. And you know what? This is in the Bible. And you know what? It's in our lesson series too. And I've got to teach it. I want to teach it to help you. And I want you to see it today as a help to you. And I want you to understand, ladies, this scripture, there are many times that people are taking these scriptures and they take them way out of line. And there are times, and people I know that see these scriptures in the Bible and they say, I've heard folks say this, those are subjects we just don't talk about. But you know what? God put it in his book for a reason. And Paul gave it unto Timothy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to help Timothy to prepare folks and to help them to understand what God's design for men and women are within the body of believers in the church. Each of us have a responsibility. Each of us. And men, let me say this to you first of all. That wife that you have, or if you're looking for one, okay? If you're praying for one, listen, the wife that you have, she can either be one of two things. She can either be your completer as God designed her to be, that one that makes you, helps you to be the man of God that you ought to be. She can either be your completer, or ladies, you can be his finisher. And I've seen both situations in life. Listen, ladies, you are either a completer or a finisher. God's design is for you to be that completer. And men, God is designed for you to be that spiritual head, even as Christ is the head of the church. So the husband is the head of the home. He's the head of the wife. And you got to lead right. You've got to lead right. And you know what? For you to lead right, you got to have somebody there that's praying for you and saying, God, I'm going to be there to help support my husband. I'm going to encourage him in the Word of God. This is a serious thing. And it was a serious issue in the church. It still is today. And I'm going to cover some things today that some folks may think, well, man, I've not thought about it this way. You need to look at it, rightly dividing the word of truth. And let it be a help to you today. You know, I'm reminded of a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, that said this, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You know what? God is the author of peace. And he doesn't want there to be confusion. But you know what? There is confusion today. And that's why God gave us his precious word. It's there to help us. It's not there to hurt us. We sang the song today, Set My Soul Afire. And Trish, I've already apologized to your husband for that, okay? I didn't know he was going to be here today. He got his leg all burned up, and he just got home from the hospital yesterday. And man, it was glad to see. I'm glad to see him here. He's not able to get up and move around as quickly as he did before. They ended up taking skin off of his left leg to put on his right leg. And his left leg now is probably hurting him more than his right leg is, where they did the surgery and all. But continue to pray for Brother Mike. But we need to have our soul set on fire for God. We need to stop looking at things and looking at things in the manner that the world looks at today. As that they deserve this. I deserve this. I've got this right. Listen, if I got what I deserve today, I would be in hell. And so would each of you. But you know what? God is the God of peace. And he has given us this book for a purpose. And I want you to understand why I'm teaching this lesson today. And you listen to me now as I tell you this. I've been praying about this for 2 weeks. I've been working on this Sunday school lesson. And I was praying early this morning about it. God, let me have the right words today to help folks see and understand what your design, your plan for each of us is within the church body, within the home body, within the family of God. Listen, I teach you this because I love you. And I want you to understand what God says about this thing. And you know what? If God says stand up and stand for something that's true and right, that's what we need to do. Amen. And we need to be praying for those around us. I had a message this morning on my phone from somebody. I don't know. They didn't leave their name, but they left me 3 prayer requests to be praying for them. that they would have a right heart with God. Basically, it was what it was all about. And that's what we need today. We need to have a right heart with God. And the only way we do that is to be right with Him through the Word of God. Amen? All right. Now, I want us to look at this lesson today. I want you to see this today. He begins this dialogue with the women. Timothy's going to be reading this letter to the people there in the church. He's already spoken to the men. Chapters 1, verse 1, going down through chapter 2, and getting into verse number 8. And last week, he reminded us here. He said, I will therefore, he's talking about all the things he's already told them. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In our world today, it's easy to get caught up in wrath and doubting. You can see that what happened in Baltimore this week with the squeegee people. And man, we got a mess in this world. We got a mess in this world. But you know, the book of Judges said, when there was no king in Israel, the people did that which was right. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's where we're living today, folks, because we don't have the right leadership. We don't have what this country needs. Our country is today trying to be just like the Israelites were when they came to Samuel and said, Samuel, we don't want God as our king anymore. We want a king like all the other nations have a king. We want to be like all the other nations. We don't need God anymore. That's where our nation is at today. And we're in a mess because of that. But we still need men of God. We still need women of God to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to live for God. It begins with prayer. We've covered that in our lesson series. But here today, Paul begins talking. Now, he's been talking with the men, but now he gets specific with the ladies as well. And he does this because there had already been problems within the body of believers. There had already been problems. And a lot of it stemmed from folks that had just gotten saved, and they were coming from one lifestyle of living and now going into a new lifestyle of living. And they only knew how to live one way, and that was in the way in which they had been living before they got saved. And folks, listen to me today. That's why we have Sunday school, and that's why we have church, and that's why we have Bible study on Wednesday nights, so that we can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you don't know how to live, then you just live as you live. When we got Precious, we got that little puppy, she was 8 weeks old. Okay, she had to be taught. She was used to just doing whatever she wanted to. She's just a little cute puppy, you know. And when she came to our house, she had to learn some things, okay? She had to learn to sit up at the table. I'm just kidding you. She had to learn some things, okay? We had to teach her how to go outside and all these other things. But we taught her those things so that it wouldn't mess up things in the house, okay? All right? She's going on almost 3 now, and she's doing much better, okay? She's doing much better. But anyway, she had to learn. You know what? In the same way, when we get saved and we start living for God, we need to learn how we live for God. We need to learn that we don't talk the way we used to talk. We don't necessarily dress the way we used to dress and act the way we used to act before we got saved. Because the devil's plan is for you to live for self. The devil's plan is for you to live for him. And he doesn't care if you live and go to hell. He doesn't care. He wants everybody to go to hell because he knows one day he is already sentenced to eternity in hell. And his thinking is, well, if I got to go, then I'm going to take as many people with me as I can. And that's what he's doing in our world today. And folks, that is why you and I must live for God. Listen, do we get hurt sometimes? Yeah, we get hurt. Do we get offended? Yeah, we get offended. Thursday night, we were visiting folks, and I was visiting new move-ins in our area. I get a list of move-ins every month, and we try to visit them and let them know, you know, we got a good church here, we got a Christian school, we got Sunday school for every age and everything. God has given us good Bible teaching, preaching. We came to one house. Where's Brother Rob? We came to one house Thursday night, and the guy just would open the door that much, and he said, "Yeah, what you got?" And I said, "Well, we've got something here we want to give you today. It's an invitation." And we found out you just moved into the area. "Yeah, I just moved in, but I'm not interested." And wham, slammed the door in your face. Wouldn't even take the gospel tract. Wouldn't even talk to us about it. Well, you know, the old flesh wants to kick in at that time. And you can't do that. Good night. Man, you can't let the flesh kick in. They offended me. Oh, you can get all upset about stuff. But you know what? All he needs is the Lord Jesus. Little does he know, I'd already mailed him a card in the mail, so he'll get it pretty soon. Okay? He already got it. I mailed out 150 of them. And he'll get one. If he hadn't already got it, he'll get one pretty soon. And it's got the same invitation I was going to give to him on Thursday night in person. I guess I should have worn my mask, Brother Rob. Sometimes folks wear these masks to keep the germs away or not getting sick. I just wear it because I'm ugly, okay? But anyway, listen, folks are going to get offended. Sometimes maybe even you will get offended if somebody says a brother or sister hurts you. They didn't mean to, perhaps, or maybe something happens and your wife has a bad day, or you have a bad day, or they have a bad day. Things happen in the church. That's why Paul is trying to help Timothy now, to teach his people how to handle these situations, what to do with it. All right? One of the very first things Paul starts talking to the ladies about here is their attire. Their attire. Now, ladies, let me say this to you first of all. God made you different than he made us men. And thank God for that. I am so glad that I married a woman, okay, that is more beautiful than me, amen? Because I am as ugly as a mud rail fence. And you know what? I love her to death. She'll call me, I'll say, "Hey, gorgeous." And somebody will ask me in church, "Who are you talking to?" And I'll say, "Who do you think I'm talking to?" Precious did not call me on the phone, okay, all right? Listen, my wife called me. I said, "Hey, gorgeous, how you doing?" But you know what? Listen, because God gave you beauty, the devil will tempt you to use that in ways that attract people to self instead of to Jesus. And if you're not careful, listen to me, ladies, in the attire even that you wear, you better be careful that it doesn't draw people to see things that they ought not see, or desire things that they ought not be desiring, or tempt them in some way instead of trying to point them and say, "Hey, you know what? That lady's got some character. That lady's got class. Man, what's different about her?" And you share the message of the gospel with them. Hey, listen, Paul said this in the lesson today, the subject of women's issues. It's always a source of contention and emotional debate, especially in our society today. With all these things going on today. And bless their hearts, women saying, "Hey, I've got the right to do with my body what I want to do." And it's not their body that they're aborting, okay? It's not their body that they're pulling legs and limbs and heads and bodies from, okay? It's a little child. It's a baby. It's alive. And folks, let me say this too before I continue on with the lesson. Some of these ladies are taking the opportunity to take abortions and kill these babies who are the same age that if they were born prematurely, they'd be doing everything they can do to keep them alive in the hospital. They'd be doing everything they could do to keep them alive. And listen today, I want you to understand, there were some situations in Paul's day that he warned Timothy about that we need to apply in our day as well today and see this and understand why God had him tell this to Timothy. Okay? I want you to understand that. God has a plan. He starts out verse number 9, "in like manner also." Now, what is he saying? He said, "Ladies, just like I've explained responsibilities to men, there are some things that you need to take responsibility for here today as well. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness, but with good works. With good works. Let me help you understand what he's talking about here again. He's talking here, he divides this thing up into two phases that he talks to these ladies about. First of all, is the inside character of a woman. Now, when I was dating, or when I wanted to date, I never dated anybody really except Mrs. Shutt. She was the only one I dated. I was the only one she dated. And God's blessed us. We've been married, come up in October, 41 years. 41 years. We dated for 4 years. We were engaged a year. And now we've been married for almost 41 years. God's been good to us. But I saw some girls there at church. Man, they were knockouts. Knockouts. Beautiful. Okay? Beautiful on the outside. But brother, they were witches on the inside. My goodness, they were just wicked and vile on the inside. I saw two guys get in a fight over one of those girls that I thought, boy, it'd be nice to date somebody like that. Two guys got in a fight over that one girl. Over that one girl. And while they're fighting, she goes off with a third guy. And I thought, you old buzzard. Yeah. Good night. So you know what I started doing? I started praying as a 16-year-old young boy. I started praying on the south side of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I started praying, God, I want a Christian girlfriend. But God, I need one that will love you. Because Lord, if she'll love you first, then she'll love me for sure. And you know what? Little did I know that on the north side of Winston-Salem, Miss Lisa Wall Stevens was up there praying, God, send me a man. God, send me a man. And she was praying for a Christian boyfriend. And you know what? Guess where we met? At church. I came in on the Sunday school bus. She came in. Her mom and dad brought her in the car. We met in the youth group. And we started sitting beside each other. And then one day, we were sitting on the bus on our youth choir trip. We were going to go sing for our pastor. And we were going to go sing. And we sat together side by side on the bus together, okay? And somebody called me by name. And we were sitting up right behind the driver, okay? Right behind the driver. And she was just getting in and she's kind of scooting over a little bit. And I thought, there's plenty of room. Come on. You know, you can scoot over a little bit. She had her hand up on the little padded bar up there at the top. And somebody called my name, and I reached around like that, and my hand touched hers. It touched her. It touched her. Oh. And I thought, Lord, this is the one. This is the one. I'm going to marry her one day. I knew it. And you know what? It was. But you know what? We tried to do it the right way. We tried to do it the right way. Listen. Paul is talking to Timothy and he said, listen, there is an inside character and there is an outside character, okay? And ladies, you need to remember that. Let's look at verse number 9 just a minute. Paul said, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves, okay? In other words, just like the men he had talked to earlier, he said, ladies, you need to adorn yourselves, okay? In modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array. That word adorn means to enhance the appearance of something. My wife ordered some makeup from one of the ladies in church. She gets her Mary Kay stuff from one of the ladies in church. And she said, you don't mind taking this to your wife, do you? And I said, well, as long as you don't give it to me in a pink bag, I'll be glad to take it to her. She gave it to me in a little food line or a Weiss bag or whatever it was. Anyway, and she said, now you don't mind taking your wife some makeup, do you? And I said, no, honey. I said, if the old barn needs painting, you paint it. Amen. Yeah. I tell her all the time. Yeah. Paint it up. Paint it up. But Paul was telling him, ladies, it's nothing wrong with adorning yourself, making yourself appear beautiful. Okay? Take a little mud and fill in the gaps. It's all right. It's not a problem, all right? Adorn yourself. But look what he said. God said that Paul was talking here. He said it was all right for them to beautify their outside appearance with the same type of beauty that God had given them on the inside. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, ladies. Not a thing in the world. Don't think that you gotta adorn yourself with no makeup, wear a burlap sack all the time, and wear, you know, that is not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. But he said that, hey, listen, the inside is to be as more beautiful than the outside. And he talks about here, he said, they're to do this through shamefacedness. Shamefacedness. Look what he said. In like manner also, that the women adore themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Now that word shamefaced means showing modesty or showing shame for those things that are not pure or holy. That's what it means. It means, you know what? I don't know any other way to put it but this way. It seems in our world today, in society today, there is no shame of anything today. If you were to walk down the street in the king's new clothes, let's put it that way, okay? You know the old story, the king's new clothes, he wore nothing, okay? There's no shame in that today, it seems, in our world. There's no shame. You can go to the beach and show off less than what you'd wear under your regular clothes, and nobody's ashamed of anything today. And folks, that's not the way God designed us to be. Adam and Eve, when they realized that they had sinned in the garden, they tried to make their own way to cover up their nakedness, their shame. And God said, listen, I know what you've done, and you can't do this in yourself to hide what you've done. I'll make the way possible for you to come before me. And God killed that little innocent lamb. He took the skins of those animals, and he covered them. And he made them a way to come before him. And all God is trying to say here is, ladies, there are some things you just ought to be ashamed to wear. You ought to be ashamed to do. You know, you just don't show off this or that. They were to show respect for their body unto the Lord and not simply be filled with vanity and selfish pride because they were beautiful. You don't do that. You know, I thank God for this. I thank God that my wife saved herself for me, not for every other man. You know what? Even after we've been married now for almost 41 years, she does not go out and show folks things that it's not right for them to see. And folks, that's what God is saying here, okay? And he said here that they were to beautify themselves outwardly with beauty and holiness that was first of all from the heart. And then they're to reflect that inward beauty outwardly as well. And he said, in modest apparel. Now, do you know what the word modest means? It simply means decent, free from excessive display or vain attraction, or even with the purpose of attracting or drawing attention to oneself or any certain part of their body. That's what it means to dress modestly, ladies. Men, it goes the same for you as well. But, you know, it doesn't look the same on a man than it does on a woman. Okay? And the devil wants to use any opportunity he can to tempt you. Number one, to be filled with pride, ladies. You don't want to do that because that's what Satan got himself in trouble with. He was filled with pride, Lucifer. And I'll cover that here in the lesson as we go on. Secondly, he said with sobriety, verse number 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Now that word sobriety, okay, if you get pulled over on the side of the road, you're weaving in and out, they give you a sobriety test, okay? Now, that does mean to stay away from alcohol and you abstain from all appearance of evil, okay? That's what it means, sobriety. It means you're sober, but it also means that they were to adorn themselves with this sobriety, it means to be self-controlled, not out of control. Boy, you see all this stuff on TV today, and folks are out of control. Yesterday, they extended the month of June's Pride Day in Westminster. And they had this Pride Parade in July. And we've been praying for rain all week. And guess what God did yesterday? God sent stormy weather right downtown Westminster. Thank God for that. It poured the rain. You know what? They were not using sobriety. They were not being serious about the way that God truly made them. And listen, Christ-like temperament, that's what he's talking about here with sobriety. Level-headedness and a sense of earnest thought and thoughtful character and demeanor. Ladies, that's how God wants you to be. He's intended that. That's his design for you. You're to help keep your husband calm when things go wrong, okay? Don't jump in there and start the fight before he gets a chance to, okay? That's not what you're supposed to be doing, okay? But listen, you're to be sober-minded. And then thirdly, in verse number 10, he said, "But which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Every woman should desire to do what they do as unto the Lord. Just like with the men, we're to do what we do as unto the Lord. Not with self-glory, not with self-exaltations, okay? But in all godliness. And showing forth a good testimony and a good reputation. I tell folks a lot of times, you know, before I got saved, I had a bad reputation. But when I got saved, I got a godly testimony to bear for Christ. Because it's his works in me. Listen, Solomon asked this question in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. He said, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" That word virtuous means one that is pure, morally excellent, chaste, and who has character displayed in her life of honor and morality. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. That's why I'm so thankful for my dear wife. You know what? I'm thankful that she loves me enough to stay close to God. To put God first. Not me, not her, but God first. Now, she's not perfect, but you know what? I thank God for her. I really do. Then he talks about here the outside attire. And as you can tell, I'm not going to get all the way through all the lesson this week. I'll finish this out next Sunday, but I want to get to the outside attire also. Because when a truly born-again Christian woman's heart is right with God on the inside, okay, then she has no problem glorifying God with her appearance on the outside. On the outside. There are lots of folks today that say, "Well, I'm not going to your church because, you know, I've seen those women up there and they wear a dress to church." You know what? We still have those images of women with dresses on the bathroom doors. And I'm glad about that because I wouldn't know which one to go in if they didn't have that. Okay? But listen to me today. There is a difference between men and women. There is a difference today. There's been a difference since the Garden of Eden, okay? God made man out of dirt, okay? It was out of dry dirt. I know it was out of dry dirt because it was just before Eve and the sun would come out. It was no rain, okay? Just before Eve, you get it? Her name was Eve. Never mind. I know that's a little deep. But he took and made that woman out of a man's rib. I tell my wife it was a spare rib. That was a spare rib. She said, "No, honey, that was prime rib." Okay? Prime rib. But the idea was she was to be by his side. To be by his side. Not under his feet. Not above his head. But by his side. to be that completer for him, to be that one that kept him living for God, encouraged him to be the man of God that he ought to be. And Paul talks about this outward attire here. A lot of ladies get all messed up with pride. And you know, I see them going down the... We saw them yesterday. My wife had a little display of her Christmas stuff that she did at the Ag Center. And some of the ladies that came in there, you know, they wear things just like the world. And it shows all the skin and the meat and everything else that's underneath all that. And they're... I'm thinking about selling my blue jeans and making a good profit because the knees are worn out and where the weed eater has caught me, I've got places all cut all in my jeans. I understand they sell those things for about $75 a pair in the store now that look like that. And I could get me some good money out of that. But listen, ladies, listen. God says you need to look like a lady. Look like, act like a modest apparel. Now, one of the ladies told me, she said, all I've got is a pair of pants to wear. I said, ma'am, I would rather you come with them than without them. Please come. Please come. We're not going to be fussing at you. But God is saying, modestly, ladies, modestly. When a fella looks at you, help them think about Jesus and not you, okay? And not the flesh. Listen, if you go back and look at the attire that Paul is talking about here, you'll understand there were those that were being saved in Ephesus that were worshipers of the goddess Diana. And the goddess Diana was one that was very provocative. And they had statues of provocative nature. And the ladies, there were temple priestess women that entertained men in the goddess of Diana. Okay? And they were being saved. They were hearing the gospel. They were getting saved. They were coming into the church at Ephesus. And bless their hearts, they didn't know anything any better. They came as they were. And you know what? It drew attention away from the gospel and said, wow, where did you learn to dress like that? Well, here's where we learned, and this is what I used to do. And boy, even some of the men were being tempted to go away from those things that were true. History teaches that. It still goes on today, folks, in our world today. And that's why Paul is trying to help them in modest apparel. Okay? God had a plan for them. This word modest, it refers to apparel that's according to God's standard of living, not the devil's standard of living. And you know what? The devil has one standard and God has another. That word modest refers to apparel that's decent, not indecent, not immoral. And you know, if you'll go back in time, we were watching some of the old TV shows, Adam 12. We were watching that when the officers didn't even have a vest. They didn't even buckle up in the police car. You know, they didn't buckle up or anything. And we watched them pulling some ladies off the street, okay, in this particular episode, off the street corner. They said, you can't be out here acting like this, dressing like that. And those ladies of the evening, okay, that they called them then, on those street corners, were dressing like the kids go to school dressed today. And they have no problem with it today. The standards have changed. People have followed after Hollywood instead of following after God's word. Folks have dropped the standard to be friendly parents instead of being godly parents. And folks today have changed that which was right. Now they call that evil. And that which used to be considered evil, now they call it good. And God is not the author of confusion. He starts out here, he said, not extravagantly. Verse number 9. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And he's referring to those ladies that came in to draw the attention to themselves and make themselves look provocative in their attire. They had another reason for dressing the way they did, and it wasn't to teach somebody about Jesus. And folks, all Paul is trying to say is, listen, as a godly woman, ladies, you don't have to flaunt your appearance. You don't have to flaunt yourself with fancy things to be beautiful. Beauty comes from the inside, and it works its way out. It comes from the inside out. Coming to church, folks, is not a fashion show. That's not what we're here for. I often tell folks, I tell them, when you come to church, you wear your best because God gave His best for you. If that best happens to be a t-shirt and a pair of blue jeans, then give God your best. If that happens to be a suit or a tie, or ladies, a dress or a nice outfit, then give God your best because He deserves that. And you know what? He deserves it every day. He's trying to teach them some things. He said, not extravagantly, but look at verse 10. He said, but with good works, which becometh women professing godliness. It's good works. It's good deeds. It's good outward. The outward shows what's on the inside. That's what he's saying. This verse reminds us, and especially, that you're to dress in a way that brings honor unto God. That's what Paul is trying to say. And he's saying here, remembering, okay? He put it in parentheses. He says, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works, you're to remember why God saved you. Okay? Men, you need to remember this too. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is not the gift of God. It's not the gift of works and things like that, but it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. But then he says there in verse number 10, he said this. He said, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we have been saved to work. We're not saved because we work, but we've been saved unto good works. We're to bear a right testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are those that are so filled with self that they have no room for God in their lives, and yet they profess to know Jesus as their Savior. And folks, we don't need to be that way. The world needs us to profess truth even as we know truth. And as we have been purified by the blood of Jesus on the inside, He also does the same thing for us on the outside. He does the same thing. Solomon, again, talks about that in Proverbs chapter 31. And then he talks about the attitude, not only the attire, okay, of women, but he talks about the attitude for those who are willing to learn. And we're going to get into this next week. Listen to me. I can tell when my wife is mad at me. She doesn't have to throw a rock. She doesn't have to send me a bad text. I can tell by her attitude. If she stomps through the house, I know she's upset. If she sits across the room and I say, honey, you okay?
Yep, I'm okay.
And she doesn't look at me, I know there's something wrong, okay? The attitude tells a lot about what's inside our hearts. And next Sunday, if you'll come back, we'll start right there, okay? All right. So just put your point your little finger in that place. And ladies, I expect you to be back next week because that will show that you have a willing attitude to learn, okay? All right. And it will go right along with the lesson this week, okay? But let me tell you this today. I love you. And I want you to live for Christ. Men, I want you to be a man for God. Be the leader that you ought to be. Be the example for your family that you need to be. And ladies, you be there to love and pray for that man. Encourage him, strengthen him. Be his completer and not his finisher. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today. And I thank you now, Lord, for this lesson that we've got today. I declare, I don't think we're all off time today, but Lord, I pray, God, that you'll just help this lesson to be a blessing to your people. Use it today to bring strength and honor to your name. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for coming, being in class.